This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from my dining room and also Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Snow does seem to be lightening up a little bit here on the northwestern side of Milwaukee, but I highly suggest you download the, it's a 511wi.gov app, and that gives you a layout of the entire state and where all of the accidents are. We do still have a number of them around Milwaukee going north on 43. We have number of on I-90 and around Edgerton, some complete closures, Janesville as well. So check that out. It's a really handy tool to have. It's 511wi.gov. Coming up this hour at 11:20, Brittany Merlot will join us for Weather and Wine. We'll find out how long the snow is going to last and if we have any more on the way. At 11:33, the Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports, and we'll wrap it up this hour with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Slow Speed Chase Edition. Right now, though, do we want to come? Has Cindy been waiting all this time?
Yes, she has been.
What a patient person. Cindy from Appleton, thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Well, I have two things. First of all, we don't have to worry about a draft because according to CJ on Earl's show this morning, Trump is going to end all of the wars.
Oh.
And number two, going back to the Department of Education, I am a school bus driver. 99% of the people I work with voted for the felon. The school buses are funded by the Federal Department of Education. So goes that budget, so goes the school buses. And I'm going to be standing in the door when we get our little pink slips, laughing at all these people saying, this is what you voted for.
Yeah, it breaks my heart, Cindy, because I just don't think people took a big enough look at the big picture and all of the ramifications of this. I just don't. And I think, as we're seeing, as we get more breakdowns of the results of the election, it makes an enormous difference where you get your information from and how you voted. And from what I've seen in the charts and the graphs that I've seen, for folks who still get their news from more regular mainstream media outlets like CNN and MSNBC, and read newspapers. That's really important for people who still read newspapers. They are the ones who voted primarily Democratic. On the other side, it's a lot of people listening to podcasters and listening to their friends on Facebook who said their sister's cousin's friend's dog walker, you know, saw this.
As a podcast.
Yeah, as a podcast.
Yeah. I think there's, you know, there was something that I wanted to ask Randy about was the fact that if we go back to a military which is just absolutely stuffed with sycophants and loyalists, what wars are we going to get into? Because Cindy brought up we're going to be into no more wars. Well, I think you get an army or you get a military full of generals who just want to fight, then we're going to get back into wars. And I don't think that's going to be a thing we can say goodbye to. But also, something that's, you know, been weighing on my brain is, and Tom brought it up in the live stream, is we are enjoying a very good economy. Job creation, unemployment's down, inflation went up just a little bit, and that's not great, but it's just a little bit. Either they're going to take credit for all the work that's been happening over the past 4 years.
Oh, which you know they will.
Or anything that goes wrong will still be Joe Biden and Kamala's fault. So there is no winning. But thank you so much, Cindy, by the way, for calling. We appreciate hearing from you. But
absolutely.
There is no way to get around any of it. And I think we have to take a note from Cindy's playbook, which is you guys just stand there and wait and be like, I'm going to live my life, pay my tax, do my thing, And when you see that it's falling around you, I'm not going to be here to say, I told you so. I will say, this is what you voted for.
But it's going to, it will affect all of us.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
This is going to affect all of us.
Yes.
And as Randy laid out, it might not all happen in the first 6 months, but within, you know, by 2026, if they close the Department of Education, as we talked about with Randy Manner, and public school, Donald Trump has already said he's going to withhold all federal monies from any schools that have vaccine mandates.
Yep. Yeah, I mean.
And most public schools have had for decades of a list of vaccines that your kids have to take so we don't all get polio again.
Well, and I think if you look at the map, I don't want to, strategy, I'm using that word very loosely, but everything he wants to do always hits to the talking points and greatest hits of the past 4 or 6 years. Like, you know, anything pandemic wise, he is against anything that has to do with bettering our health as far as vaccinations, Jane, I've asked you this question before. What kind of pandemic has to happen in this country for people to take it seriously the next time? Is there a version of a pandemic where people say, oh, we will stay inside, we will get vaccinated, or is it just out the window forever?
No, unfortunately, it's going to require some horrible physical proof,
yeah,
like face pustules.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but I said this when we were going through COVID. You know, well, I can't see it, therefore it doesn't exist. Well, if this involved oozing sores all over people's faces, then I think they would buy it. But is it really? That's what we're going to have to get to.
Yeah.
For people to, Pete Hegseth said, the guy who wants to run the Department of Defense, he said, germs don't exist because I can't see them.
Well, then calories don't exist.
All of our heads collectively go.
Calories do not exist. I cannot see them. Where is my seventh pizza? And this man is going to be able to run the military.
So. And like Randy pointed out, what, an $8 billion budget?
With 2 million essentially employees, people under him.
Going back to the schools just for a second.
Yeah, of course.
I have to think, and they've been wanting to kill public education for a long time. Mm-hmm. This has been a goal, especially of the religious right,
yes,
for a really long time, to kill public education. So if they manage to do that, the goal then, I assume, is to get everyone back to homeschooling? Or are we only going to have government-funded religious schools that are acceptable?
I have been thinking about this, actually, and I've been meaning to bring it up on the program because I thought, you know, it's like, all right, what version do we have here? Do we have a version where all schooling is privatized and Christianized, if you will? Or we close the public schools, oh, your kid can't get in it. Well, there's a job down at the foundry. They could work. They seem like they could carry a load on their shoulders. They could work.
If they don't have the qualifications, exactly, to get into this school.
Exactly. And honestly, what they might do is they might loosen the child work laws enough where the parents say, well, I can send my kid to school, a terrible school, or they're going to not go to school, or they can earn a living and help pay for whatever. I mean, we're going back to the 20s. We're going back to the old days where kids, my grandfather quit school, I think, in second or third grade to start working back in the 20s. And that is just reprehensible. And this notion of funding a second school district, second school system with taxpayer money for religious schooling and making that seem like that is the great option. This, I don't want to be this guy, but I feel like I'm being realistic, Jane. I don't see going anywhere but down as far as education.
Well, and it's interesting. You mentioned your grandfather. My father dropped out of school in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And went to work.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why my parents were so big on all of us getting educated.
Well, yeah, they dropped out. They did what they needed to do in those days. And their whole mantra was, you will have better than me. I will provide, yes, so you have better than me, and then such and so. And I think we got, what, like two generations of that? And now kids nowadays who are in their 30s and younger are just, they're struggling. They, like, the idea of buying a house for them is laughable.
Calvin, is that something you even consider anymore? As a 26-year-old, do you ever think about one day I'll be able to buy a house maybe in another 10 years?
I mean, I have my own reasons for preferring renting aside from cost, but yeah, I mean, it definitely doesn't feel realistic. I don't know. It's not
attainable. It must not even feel attainable.
I mean, I have friends who have bought houses, but they're the ones who have are both married, so they have two incomes, and one of them doesn't have kids yet, and the other one who does have kids gets a lot of help from his parents.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really, really tough.
It almost seems like that's like, I remember when I was your age, Calvin. Well, I love saying that sentence, but when I was your age, I knew friends who were buying like two bedroom homes that were like 500 square feet or 600 square feet, very, very small starter homes, so they could build the equity and get. Nowadays, those same homes are like $250,000.
Yeah, a starter home is $250,000. That's insane.
So I guess the point is, to bring it back to what we were talking about, was what are they going to do to make an economy that will allow younger people to afford housing? Will it be credits? Will it be, I don't know, but I'm hearing zero plan other than tariffs is going to fix everything.
Tariffs, tariffs, tariffs. It's a beautiful word.
It's a beautiful word.
It's a beautiful word.
Do you know what it means, though?
PJ on the live stream says, my late boomer father dropped out of high school because my grandfather had passed and my dad was the only man in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how you did it back in the days. He also said, my two bedroom is 984 square feet and the equity is $178,000.
Wow.
I mean, if you got in early, but that's not the case. So yeah, once again, here's the question. Where's the plan? What's the plan? How are you going to make this younger generation build a better generation and more wealth for themselves?
Stay with us. When we return, we will be joined by Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a little weather and wine. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby coming to you live from both my dining room and Radio Park in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 11:30 news, the Acme Packing Company's J.R. Radcliffe will be here to talk all things sports. We're going to wrap up the show today with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Slow Speed Chase Edition, sent in by Tony from Mequon. So if you would ever like to send in a thing that you think should not be, email it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Use that same email if you have a guest in your community that you think should get highlighted, a business you'd like us to talk about, maybe a fundraiser for something going on, no matter where you are across the state. Send it in to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. She joins us for a little weather and wine, fresh off of vacation. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, is here. Good morning. Where were you on vacation, Brittany?
Oh, good morning. I was actually in sunny Florida, feeling some 80s and enjoying it. But it was definitely a slap of reality when I got back to Minneapolis yesterday evening. And it was, 27 degrees, started snowing. I'm like, here we go. Winter roads.
Yep. I would
but this
say-
is what you... You're a meteorologist. Isn't this what you live for?
Oh, 100%. I'm probably the most excited in the entire state right now. I'll take that title.
Yeah, right?
People are shaking their heads. Come on.
Did you see any storm damage still from the storms that went through Florida?
Yeah, so that's one of the things I did. I've never been through a hurricane, and I've never really gone right after immediately one. So I wanted to check it out, see what it was like, and went to Clearwater Beach and also Sarasota, Siesta Key. And I was quite shocked. I mean, they're still cleaning up. There's still a ton of debris. Many, many businesses closed. I mean, they are actively working to still clean up after Milton. And huge, huge devastation. And to see it weeks later and still looking like that was kind of a slap of reality too. Scary stuff. Sad. Very sad.
Absolutely. Do they want tourists right now?
I don't think so. I know it's the beginning of tourist season, but a lot of things are closed. You know, I was running into tourists as well, and they were like, oh, this is closed. Oh, bummer. What did you think?
I was gonna say, yeah, it's like, did you think that someone waved a wand? Like, it's, I know it's Disney territory, but
yeah.
You're not just gonna wave a wand and fix everything. You've gotta, I mean, it's going to take years for some people to, and maybe not at all, unfortunately, but to be upset. I'm like, okay.
Well, and I keep thinking about all of the debris, and what do you do with all of that stuff? I mean, it can't get reclaimed. All of the wood that was soaked through and all of that stuff, it's just
trash.
It's all landfill now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're just lining the streets with it. Dumpsters are still picking it up. I mean, from couches to, you know, pieces of buildings, everything's out there. It's not a pretty sight. And well, even inland too, like towards Orlando, signs, highway signs are still mangled, or the ones that are still standing are just twisted. It's crazy, crazy to see.
It's a good reminder, if you would like to do something and you feel like you can't do anything to help out, you can always donate to the Red Cross and you can always give blood. We are big blood pushers here on Matt and Air on Air. So if you can donate a pint of blood or become a regular blood donor, not just in times of crisis and emergencies like this, but there is always, always a need for blood. So make an appointment to donate today if you can. All right, let's talk about this snow that you're all happy about, Miss Merlot.
Ugh.
Well, you guys are kind of getting it the worst, honestly. Lakeshore, Fox Valley, my gosh. Anywhere from 2 to 5 inches already being reported. I saw a report of near 7 inches into Slinger. Oshkosh and Oconomowoc, I'm coming in at about 5 inches, plus those winds on top of it,
yeah.
Which is why the lakeshore is getting hit so hard. I love me some lake effect snow. That's what's happening.
Well, because it's this really wet, heavy stuff, do we have to worry about tree damage or anything like that, Brittany?
Well, that's the thing. So you got the wet, heavy stuff on top of the branches that are obviously dying and going into winter mode. And then the winds are gusting 40 to 50 miles per hour. So not only the trees, but also power lines, things like that, could go out, could go down. Those are still risks. And the winds aren't easing until tomorrow afternoon, kind of into the evening. So still a risk through that.
Now, it is supposed to turn over to rain as the day goes on.
Yes, it is. Thankfully, temperatures are going to be warming. We're going to stay above freezing tonight, too. So we shouldn't have to worry about too many icy situations. And I'll tell you what, in Wausau, my snow's already melted. So there's a good forecast for
you. Oh, good grand for you.
I'm going to send it your way. I'll send it south. Don't worry.
And what about do we have anything else that you're watching for into next week that we have to be preparing for?
Yeah, so we are looking at Sunday night and into Monday. Of course, another snow event headed our way, mainly up to the north and, of course, by the lake, and then Thanksgiving weekend. So not actual Thanksgiving, but the weekend, you know, following it, we are looking at some active snow moving on through when everyone wants to hit the road and the skies and see family. So we're keeping track on that. But also, it's Winter Weather Awareness Week. This is the time to get that emergency kit in your car, have it ready. If you didn't already do it for today, you want it by the holidays.
What should go in that emergency kit, Brittany?
100% an ice scraper, gloves, hat, a blanket, a sleeping bag because the cold air always pushes in after a snowstorm. And if your car doesn't work and you can't get heat, oh my gosh. And it's happened to my sister before. I'll tell you, it sneaks up on you and you can be stranded fast. So even things like a cat litter, shovel, hand warmers, maybe some extra food and water in there too. Even at home, you want to make sure that you have a power bank or a generator.
Yes.
Because if you lose power, what are you going to do?
I would actually say too, if you can afford it and you have, buy a basic drill with some socket, little socket set in case you get a flat tire. It makes removing those lug nuts a lot easier than running the tire iron back and forth and back and forth. I mean, it's just, I just think if you have that, you get kind of ahead of the game there. I think it's one more thing you can add.
Yes.
She is Civic Media's meteorologist. She joins us once a week for a little weather and wine. Brittany Merlot, thank you so very much. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you live from both my dining room and also Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just as we were coming back on the air, I saw this on Twitter posted at 11:24 a.m. today from Matt Gaetz. I had excellent meetings with senators yesterday. I appreciate their thoughtful feedback and the incredible support of so many. While the momentum was strong, it was clear my confirmation was unfairly, becoming a distraction to the critical work of the Trump-Vance transition. There is no time to waste on a needlessly protracted Washington scuffle. Thus, I'll be withdrawing my name from consideration to serve as Attorney General. Trump's Department of Justice must be in place and ready on day one. I remain fully committed to see that Donald J. Trump is the most successful president in history. I will forever be honored that President Trump nominated me to lead the Department of Justice. I'm certain he will save America. So Matt Gaetz is out. That was quick. I was seeing all kinds of things that Elon Musk was threatening senators if they did not vote to confirm him, that Elon was going to pay to have them primaried. And now I guess we will just never, ever have to see this report, this Health Ethics Committee report on Matt Gaetz.
Oh, no. What's gonna happen to him, Private Citizen Gaetz, now? Because he's not a congressman anymore. He resigned.
Well, nothing's going to happen to him.
Yeah.
He'll go work for some super PAC, or he'll get a job on Fox. Isn't that the circle that there is now? It's from Fox to the government, from the government to Fox. It's kind of this wheel that continues going on.
Then in 10 years, he gets to be president.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see who Donald Trump is going to nominate in Matt Gaetz's place. Can it be Marjorie Shrieker of the House Green? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. It is the Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, all. Doing great. Had a big Packer win. Couldn't be better. And I mean, the Gates news also has me just hopping a little bit more than I was before.
They won on Sunday. It was not good.
It wasn't good, but upon rewatch, I don't think it was quite as bad as I originally thought, mostly because, you know, the Bears last week fired their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. And I kind of thought this might happen, where they got an immediate change of philosophy from their interim new offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown. They were getting Caleb Williams killed back there. The Bears were running an offense not suited for their personnel, with a lot of deep passing, with a lot of deep drops for Williams, and they couldn't block it. And so I think when they fired Waldron, they told Brown, like, you have to get shorter passes. And the Packers weren't prepared for it, but there's no tape of it. So it's hard to be prepared for something that you're sort of guessing is going to happen. And it's not like the defense was completely shredded. They give up 19 points. It's not a huge amount. I'm a little more concerned about the offense's performance, but they're... That was kind of weird too. One of the main problems with this game is it was very running heavy. It was slow. It was a very slow paced game. And the Packers only ran 43 offensive plays. The Bears ran like 65. And a lot of that is just dragging out the running game. And they either ran a lot ineffectively, or they hit those bombs to Christian Watson and had really short drives. So the Bears controlled the ball for a lot of time, but pretty ineffectively. And given how much of a change the Bears had undergone just the prior week, you take this one. It's a good result. It is lucky to get a field goal block on the last play of the game. But as Rich Bisaccia said after the game, he told the guys before that he predicted they were going to get one. And upon watching tape of that, I think that the Bears had instructed their long snapper to stay down to try and draw penalties, and shouldn't have done that on the last play of the game because penalty didn't matter. But they got burned by that very same call 2 weeks ago. After the game, they submitted tape to the league saying our long snapper got hit when he shouldn't have. That is not correct. He did not pop up and block. You have to actually pop up and block after a second. So I'm okay with this Packer win. Given all the uncertainty and weirdness about this game, I'm just glad they got it done. And they were sort of weirdly efficient in doing so.
I just want
weirdly
the Packers.
Weirdly efficient. That's such an interesting compliment.
Green Bay Packers, weirdly efficient.
Weirdly efficient.
I just always go back to the idea of, like, yes, I think, you know, the Packers do have a decent season thus far. They're winning more games than they're losing. But running into this game last week, it still shows that the Bears are not a great team, but we don't win them guaranteed, especially against the Bears. So a win is a win is a win. I understand that. But a 1-point win at the end of the game, maybe just take it down a little bit more, Packer Nation. Just humility.
Yep. Humility is a good place to be. And the Bears, we should say, are not terrible. Yeah. They got blown out the 2 weeks before Shane Waldron got fired because their offense didn't show up. But by almost all metrics, they have the best pass defense in the NFL. It's actually very hard to move the balls on the Bears if their offense isn't helping you out. So that's the other thing. This isn't a pathetic team. The Bears are okay. They're not great, but they're okay.
I like it. But, now I want to know who the pathetic teams are.
See, oh, I mean, Panthers, Cowboys, the Jets now are pathetic. The Giants. The Giants are completely
pathetic. Let's talk more about the Jets being pathetic.
I was going to say, and Aaron Rodgers is still sucking.
And so now he's going to – so no, let's just get this straight. He's going to be the head coach. He's going to be the GM. He's going to be the quarterback. Will he be providing water for the team, driving anyone around? And does he clean up the stadium too? I mean, it's just becoming becoming the New York Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he'll do all that stuff, but his friends probably will.
Yeah.
And then, you know – When he gets hired to be the attorney general, then they can go with him there too.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Paul Noonan
funny.
Is here from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports, talking about the Packers' win over the Bears last Sunday. What is coming up this weekend for the Pack?
They have the 49ers, who have had a very disappointing season. They're 5-5. They're tied with many other teams for last place in the NFC West. But they have gotten extremely unlucky. They are a much better team than that. By all their underlying metrics, they're like the sixth best team in football, but they keep losing close games. They keep having sort of weird injuries pop up at bad times. And so they're more formidable than they sort of look on paper. They are a little bit in decline. Their key players are Debo Samuel, and George Kittle, their tight end, they're getting older. They're starting to show, I think, some of the cracks of age. And they are also a little banged up on defense. They have one of the Boses. I can't remember which one. They're interchangeable in my brain. But he is hurt and likely not going to play. And their quarterback, Brock Purdy, I think Calvin's going to type it. The quarterback, Brock Purdy, has an injury as well. So they're catching the 49ers at a pretty good time, but they're going to be desperate because if San Francisco loses this game, their path to the playoffs becomes essentially impossible. And getting a desperate 49ers team in front of you is going to make for a tricky game. They are very creative. They're well run. Our offense is a derivative of their offense. That is Kyle Shanahan's team. We run very similar schemes, very familiar. And I think a lot of people are going to look at this on paper, like the Packers have a very good winning percentage now. The 49ers are 5-5. They lost to Seattle last week in a weird game. But San Francisco is dangerous in this moment. So this will not be an easy game, and the Packers cannot afford to slop their way through it like they did last week.
Well, again, they don't have the feeling yet that they've gelled. It just doesn't feel like they've gotten things to come together yet. And it's getting late in the season. Right?
I think that's right. Like, they've been their own worst enemy pretty consistently. And a lot of what was wrong early hasn't really been fixed. They still are having trouble generating a pass rush without blitzing, and they're good at blitzing, but it burns you eventually. Now, Rashawn Gary, by the way, was a little bit better against the Bears, but only a little bit. Dontavian Wicks still can't catch the ball. And their running attack is good. But when they run into good rush defenses, it's not quite good enough. So there's a lot here to fix. I'll give you one positive. Jordan Love did throw an interception in the last game, but it was different than a lot of his other interceptions. The really bad Jordan Love interceptions have been bad decisions. Like, he just didn't see a guy standing there. And while it was a bad interception, it was a good decision. Tucker Kraft was standing there wide open. It was just a bad throw. Those happen sometimes. I actually think he changed his mind mid-throw on that interception because Romeo Doubs was also kind of open in the back of the end zone right behind Kraft. And I think he decided to check down at the last minute and his arm just didn't follow suit. So that's something to watch. He looked healthier. That's better. But there's still a lot to clean up, yes. And they haven't played that clean game we've all been waiting for.
Good news for Pat Murphy, though.
Yeah. Pat Murphy. It's really good to see, you know, after Craig Counsell, who I still think is a good manager, never did manage to win Manager of the Year. Pat Murphy wins it almost unanimously. Mm-hmm. I think he got 27 out of 30 votes.
Yep.
Over Mike Schilt and Carlos Mendoza. And it's very deserved. I do think the Brewer front office generally excels at sort of kind of telling managers what to do in terms of tactics, but it actually takes a really, really good, smart, and congenial manager to get buy-in from all the players to do some things that are often very unusual. The Brewers run a very unusual pitching staff in particular, where they ask relievers to do a lot of things they're not comfortable with, both in the lab and just going out and pitching multiple innings. Getting hitters on board to do a little bit more unusual things, like hit the opposite way, all that base stealing that they do that not a lot of other teams do. Murphy, I think, excels at being the implementer of a lot of, frankly, weird stuff that baseball players don't grow up doing. And, you know, they overperformed by so much. He earned this one.
I think that, you know, I've been saying this to, well, basically anyone who will listen to me speak, but I think the major thing for me as a fan, too, is watching Pat Murphy bring a joy to that clubhouse and it's seen reflected in the players, a happiness and a cohesion. Not to say that they weren't cohesive under Craig Counsell, but not since 2018 did we see that real family vibe happening. And this year was much, much different. And in the face of analysts and experts, and I'm sure you talked to them too, Paul, who said, yeah, the Brewers aren't going to be very good. It's a young team with new coach, and they're good. The good guy went to Chicago and blah, blah, blah. And they overperformed and did so well. I mean, I would have loved to see them get past the first round of the playoffs, but Pat Murphy just has a spark about him that's undeniable.
Yeah, he really does. And Counsell looks so defeated at the end of last season, just always in the surrender cobra. pose and I do think there's something to be said for like the rah-rah guy. Murphy will go to bat against umpires for his guys. I think he's really good at getting them up when they're down. And honestly, I think that's often a bigger battle than having like perfect tactics on the field. Mm-hmm. And anybody can look at a spreadsheet and tell you perfect tactics. Being able to motivate guys to actually execute is a much, much greater skill.
Yeah, the psychology behind it is really critically important.
Absolutely is. And yeah, you could see it in the clubhouse, and you could see it the opposite in the Cubs clubhouse, honestly. Yeah.
But I don't count the Cubs. I mean, like, that's the, you just said, though, Craig Counsell is a fantastic manager, and he's a brand new team for him. And I'm not going to be surprised at all if he comes back next season and just does something real special with his team as well, because it's just about getting himself acclimated to the space and doing his thing and doing great work. And that's what he does. But, you know, you can't discount the Brewers now. It just can't. It doesn't make sense.
Yep. Anytime you get a projection from the Brewers that's anything less than like winning the division, until somebody starts spending a lot of money in this division, just discard it. They just have a really, really good formula. They crank up pitchers like nobody else does. And yeah, it's just a good organization. They're very well run.
Yeah, they are.
In about the 90 seconds that we have left, Paul, what about Wisconsin firing Phil Longo?
Phil Longo was always a weird choice. When Luke Fickell was in his last position, his offensive coordinator wasn't Longo. It was now Notre Dame's. Like, that guy went to Notre Dame. It was a pretty good offense. Longo ran air raid, which when you hear air raid, you probably think light, fast, the opposite of what Wisconsin tends to be, you know, heavy, powerful. And that is, I think, largely why it didn't work. And it's also a little bit anachronistic at this point. Some teams run it well. Longo was never going to fit. Wisconsin should go back to having big boys up front, strong running attack, play action, kind of what the Packers do. And I think they'll probably get back to it.
Every other Thursday from the Acme Packing Company, Paul Noonan to talk all things sports. Thank you so much, Paul. We'll see you in a couple. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, guys. Thanks.
When we return, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Slow Speed Chase Edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator, coming to you live from my dining room and also Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very busy show coming your way tomorrow at 10:33. Newly elected Wisconsin State Senator Jamie Wahl will be joining us, followed by Dan Schaefer from the REEC. We'll have an extended Dan Schaefer recombobulation area tomorrow from 11 until 11:50. And then, of course, we'll wrap it up with where we are right now. 11:52, Calvin, that means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This was sent in by Tony from Mequon. Thank you very much, Tony. All right, let's get into it. Headline reads from Fox to Detroit. Michigan man leads lawnmower chase, tased after pulling gun. Video released by authorities in Michigan shows a man leading authorities on a brief police chase on a zero-turn riding mower. Yep, police were called to a business in Leoni Township, just east of Jackson, Michigan, in September. They were there to arrest 41-year-old James Mitchell Kerr, who was wanted on a felony warrant for violating probation and two misdemeanors. The body cam video released by the sheriff shows a man leading him through the shop. And as the deputy approaches the guy sitting on a zero-turn mower, he calls out by name. He says, "Hey, how you doing, James?" Well, someone was said by either Kerr or the other man. The deputy tells him to get off the tractor, but instead, Mr. Kerr, James Kerr, fires up the lawnmower and drives off.
Fires it up, all 7 horsepower of it. Just
yep, yeah. The officer is following him on foot.
Yeah.
The deputy, he's walking behind this lawnmower. The deputy orders him to stop multiple times and continued to order him to stop as the suspect continued to drive away. The all of 15 seconds slow speed chase came to a stop a very short distance away from the shop. That's when the deputy ordered him to get off the riding mower again. "I'll stop," says the suspect. "I'm getting off." He could have ended there. It didn't.
Nope.
The suspect gets off the mower, walks around to the other side. Now, the deputy has his taser trained on him this whole time. And he said, "Look, if you run, guy, I'm going to tase you." Yeah, Mr. Kerr did not run. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
And if you're asking yourself, loyal listeners out there, "Man, I really wish I could watch this video," don't worry. The video will be in the show notes because it's all there. It's 1.5 minutes long, and it would make Florida proud.
Maybe he's a originally from Florida.
This has definitely got some. It's definitely got Floridian values. Like, I'm getting notes, hints of the smells, wafts of Florida.
Yes. Hints of Everglades. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. So again, the guy reaches for a gun. The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him. And then Mr. Kerr dropped to the ground.
Not before shooting himself in the hand.
As this happens.
I just took that look. That was a perfect cake we had right there. I just was like, "Here, let's just add a little bit of frosting on there." There you go. Shoots himself in the hand.
Yep. Michigan State Police conducting an independent criminal investigation and the sheriff's office with an internal investigation has led to charges of assault with intent to murder, felony firearm, resisting and obstructing police charges against Mr. Kerr. He was formally charged in October with assault with intent to murder, felony firearm, and resisting and obstructing. I don't know. If you want to do a life of crime, you need to have better plans. Right?
Listen here, people. If you want a crime, you got a crime right. Crime right, you know. I mean, you're this far. I'm not advocating for crime, but boost a car. Boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Yeah. I mean, the officer is following him yes. on foot as he's driving away on this 0-degree turn lawnmower. It was a nice try, Kevin, or Mr. Kerr, James Kerr. But enjoy your time behind bars because yeah. that's probably where you're going to be.
Yeah.
How much is he going to brag about this when he gets behind bars?
Oh, it's the mower will turn into a cat, into a sports car, and it will be hand to hand combat. And it was only after he let the cop go, he said, "All right, I'll give up." That'll be it.
I can see that happening. Yeah. All right, that wraps it up for today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, The Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. Dominic Salvia from 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. And don't forget to join Earl Ingram starting every morning at 8 a.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Stay safe, stay warm. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.